you.
Yeah, I have an uncle who lives in Boca Raton. He's a big tzaddik, Talmud Chacham, and I owe him a lot. He really was mashpia on me from my very early age and till the time I got married and whenever I see him. He's a Chavetz Chaim lifer, one of those. Now, Kanai Nahari is in his ninth decade already, and he's still teaching over there in Chavetz Chaim in Boca Raton. The guys from Boca Raton know him. And actually, his first shteller in the Chavetz Chaim system was that there used to be a Chavetz Chaim in New Haven. You'll find yeshivas and Ivy League towns don't really make such good shidduchim all the time. It's sort of like a negative energy going against each other. But in his first shtella, they opened up a Chavetz Chaim in New Haven, and it went for a good amount of time. And the way that they used to try to encourage the guys to come to the yeshiva, both from in New Haven and also from outside of New Haven, I went to one of these things, was that they had a Shabbaton, to introduce the guys to the yeshiva. And, of course, on Sunday, so they would do something fun with the guys. They would take them skiing or something, whatever, something along those lines. All right, so he always tells a story that he had one boy who wanted to come to the yeshiva, and talking to the father, and the father says, whatever, he had a good time on the Shabbos, and he said some nice things about the yeshiva, but, I understand that in the yeshiva, there are a lot of bums. My uncle said, bums? Is something going on over here that we're not aware of, in the yeshiva? Well, what do you mean by bums? So the father says to him, now you won't relate to it at all, because now everybody wears black hats. You're either wearing a black hat or no hat, right? But the guy says to my uncle, he says, I understand that in the yeshiva, a lot of the boys there, they don't wear black hats, they wear blue hats. My uncle, didn't quite know what to say. And I don't know if he told it to the guy himself or whether he just said it to somebody afterwards. He goes, I don't know. All I can tell you is that, when I was young, it was much, much more fun to be a bum. It's you be a bum, do it right. You're called a bum for wearing a blue hat? I mean, come on, get a life, You may want to be a bum, do it with an exclamation point. And it's true. I remember when my parents were here, it was my first or second year in yeshiva. And aside from, my friends from yeshiva here, I had a lot of guys from my graduating high school class that ended up in, let's just say, other types of yeshivas. Or the yeshiva would call them other types of so-called yeshivas. And they were into all kinds of shtick and all kinds of things and, whatever it is, going the other way. And I remember saying to my parents, I said, something? I said, I understand these guys very, very well, because if that's what they're into, they want to do it to the end. And I also understand the guys who came with me because, if they want this type of thing, if they want to come and they want to learn and they want to be serious and they want to steig, so they want to do it till the end. But the guys who are somewhere in the middle, they don't know what they want, it's like, I want to be in yeshiva, I don't want a yeshiva, the wishy-washy, whatever, mediocre, wishy-washy, average. So what are you doing? What are you doing? Noach Weinberg always says, no one really wants to be average. That's the biggest insult. You do something well, you want to do something, you want to be excellent, you want to be great. You want to be mediocre? You want to be average? Yeah. Depressing. And if you want to inspire somebody, it's a good, good thing to take note of. If you want to inspire somebody, always convince them that he's going to be great. Because if you tell somebody you're going to be good, it doesn't work as well. Even though it's much more important to be good than it is to be great. You can be great and you can be evil at the same time. Good? Okay. But that exclamation point that attaches itself to great, that somehow turns people on. Whereas good, average, mediocre, certainly, okay, fine, that doesn't really talk to me. But why is this? What are we really looking for? And why is it that you say to somebody, you know, you're going to be great? It's with an exclamation point that gets us all excited. What's really driving us inside? And what are we really looking for? And Bez Hashem, if we think about it, it really very much attaches itself to this week and really the next couple of weeks as we're really coming closer and closer to Zman Matan Torah Seinu, which is the ultimate day of greatness. But what exactly is it that we're looking for? The Rosh Yeshiva always starts his shmuzin when it comes to this week, a week before Parshas B'chukosai. Some talk about B'chukosai, having a Melon B'Torah. The Rosh Yeshiva always starts off with the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah says, Tanya Rav Shimon ben Elezer Omer, Ezra tikein lahem li Yisrael shiukairim klolai shebetaris kayanim kaidim atzeres. Ezra made a takana that we have to read the klolais in B'chukosai before Shavuos, v'shebemishna Torah kaidim Rosh Hashanah, and the ones in Kisavai before Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Yeshiva always points out that don't say that this has to do with the regular Seder of Kriyas HaTorah, because we know that there are many places where they had the minhag to only finish the Torah once every 3 years. And in those places, they had an extra Kriyas HaTorah to lane the Teichacha before Shavuos and before Rosh Hashanah every single year, in addition to the regular Parsha of the week. So it was like one of these Zohar jobs, you know, whatever. That was a Takanas Ezra. Why? So on the most simple level, and I think that this is what the Rosh Yeshiva pretty much says every year, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, he says that, listen, before you go into Matan Torah, before you receive the Torah, so you have to realize that there are consequences. If you listen to what it says in the book and you do the mitzvahs, okay, fine, so you get the brachas. And if you don't, so then you don't. And it comes with consequences. On a deeper level, and this is, you know, well documented in many Maror Mekaymes, that every year when we sit and we listen to the Torah, we listen to the brachas and the klalas before Shavuos, so we're really doing what they did back in the old days. Elu divrei habris. Before you get into Matan Torah, so you have to be nichnas lebris. A bris is a shvua that goes both ways. I promise to keep my end, you keep promise to keep your end. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're going to get schar v'einish. I say I'm going to keep the mitzvahs in the Torah. And therefore, as you're standing there this week, don't think about the fact, okay, fine, we're just reading through all the... You're being nichnas lebris. Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur. Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur. That tzibur is it's bezer ampin of the whole Klal Yisrael. It's the Jewish people who are accepting the bris. And that's what happens before Shavuos. Which basically, though, brings forth an interesting question. And everybody sings on Shavuos, right? So wouldn't it make sense to read this thing on Shavuos? They say it didn't happen that way. Nasa v'nishma was not on Shavuos. Nasa v'nishma, we were nichnas lebris before Shavuos. Okay, so then we have to ask ourselves a different question, though. So if we accepted the deal beforehand, so what was Shavuos? Anoichi, La'yia, L'cha, Matan Torah. But what was the experience? What was the experience of Shavuos? And it's not just that we have a deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Something incredible happened on Shavuos. It wasn't just that we got a book. And it's something that we build up to, and it's something that we go through again this year. So what happened on Shavuos? After the bris, what happened on Shavuos? A related topic, beginning of Parshas Bahar. So Bahar, we have all of the halachas of Shemitah, we have the halachas of Yovel, which the Ramban points out, the Mashgiach talked about it a lot last year, I don't know what he did this year or whatever, but if you look at it, it's very, very scary, all the parallels that you have over here. You're counting Sfiras HaOmer, 7 times 7, and you have the Yomim and the Shavuos, and you know, you're counting up to Yovel, and over here we're counting up to Shavuos, and it's the whole system of 7 times 7, it's all there in Yovel. But in any case, the Ramban comes and he says something very interesting on the Parsha, on the beginning of Parshas Bahar. Now everybody knows the Medrash from Rashi. It says in the Pasuk, Vayidaber Hashem O Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor. Asks Rashi, Ma'inyan Shemitah Etzel Har Sinai. So what's Shemitah doing by Har Sinai? And he brings the Medrash. The Medrash says, Ma shmita nemar klol esel proteseo v'diktukeo mi Sinai, av kulam nemru klol esel v'diktukeo mi Sinai. That's what Rashi brings in the Torah's Kainim. And Rashi has his own havana, his pshat of how he says pshat in the Medrash. The Ramban says something crazy. The Ramban says over here that actually, what's the Torah telling us over here? That before Maimed Har Sinai, there was Achnas Labris. Talking about before, we agreed Nasav Nishma to keep our end of the deal. Then we get the Torah. Then there's the Chet HaEgel. After the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "You know what? We got to be machnis this them in the bris again." And actually, this second time that we're nichnas into the bris, that's actually what's happening over here at B'chu Kaysai. This is the second time. It's not the first time. The first time was in Mishpatim, and that was gone. We had to do it all over again, do over because of the Chet HaEgel. So we had to make the deal a second time. Says the Ramban, says the Ramban, that what does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? He says, because this whole Parsha over here of Bahar, Shemitah and Yovel, and all the things that have to do with that, that was all said over here at Har Sinai when they were nichnas into the bris the second time. Very interesting phenomenon. Ma'inyan Shemitah Etzel Har Sinai, because of the fact that this is where this was stated, all the klalos, all the pratis, everything, all the details were said over here at Har Sinai the second time that they were nichnas into the bris. What's the deal with that? What does Yovel, what does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai and the fact that they bring Nichnas into the bris the second time? What's so special about that? And finally, a third topic over here, just on the issue of Yovel itself. Svarim HaKadoshim draw a parallel between Yovel and Yom Kippur. The Torah says about Yovel, Ukrasim Duror, L'chol Yeshvel, Yovel is freedom. Whatever you sold goes back in Yovel. If you're an Eved, you go back in Yovel. Yovel is the ultimate reset button. It's where things go back to the way that they ought to be. And Yom Kippur is really the same thing. The Kedusha of Yom Kippur is also, it's a reset button. The whole year we sully ourselves, we make ourselves filthy and dirty, and we change our personalities. And on Yom Kippur, there's a special Kedusha that basically says, listen, just do a couple of things and you could go back to the way that you ought to be. Right? So both of them are the same. The Kedusha is Yovel and the Kedusha of Yom Kippur, very much the same. Now, it's interesting. Getting up to Yovel, we have a whole process of Sfira. Right? You count the 7 times 7, and then you get up to Yovel. Do we have that by Yom Kippur? No. Where do we have it? by Shavuos. So wouldn't it make sense either that, you know, Yovel, the Kedusha of Yovel is Shavuos, or that you blow the Shofar of Yovel on Shavuos is really Hainu Hach, that's why we blow the Shofar of Yovel on Yom Kippur, because the Kedusha is the same. Or even better, why don't we have the 7 times 7 building up to Yom Kippur? Why the 7 times 7 before Shavuos? Why the before Yom Kippur? So really we have 3 things to analyze over here. If the bris is before Shavuos, so then what is Shavuos itself? What is the element that we're looking for in Shavuos? Number 2 is that why is it that we have the whole parsha of Shemitah and Yovel, and what's special about that parsha that it was bedavka put together with the bris at Har Sinai? When we were nichnas into the bris, when we continued our Kabbalah Satara, why do you have this over there? And the 3rd question is that if Yom Kippur is the same as Yovel, so why are we counting up to Shavuos? We should be counting up to Yom Kippur. Or the Kedusha of Yovel really should be the Kedusha of Shavuos, not of Yom Kippur. How did that get changed? What happened over there? So what's Shavuos? What's Yom Kippur? What's Yovel? What's the bris? And what exactly happened on Shavuos? And how does that talk to us? So I told you guys that I had a lot of tzaras from Rav Melech Biederman this week. The first thing that happened was the night of Lag BaOmer, so I had to leave Yeshiva very early because I found out, you know, they're going to close up the streets and I'm not going to be able to get a bus. And so I ended up getting a ride home with Rabbi Eichen. It was actually very nice. We sort of had like an impromptu, you know, staff meeting in his car about a couple of different things. If you want, I'll tell you about it another time. But that was an interesting experience. Okay. Second thing that happened was the next morning when I tried to get home from Shacharis, and my bus, who was supposed to take me home, so either, you know, the Sadran, the guy who was in charge of him or whatever it is, him and a bunch of other buses, instead of turning to get to my bus stop, they turned back around and went out of the city going through the back way, so I had no bus. So, okay, fine. One more reason to, you know, be a Grinch that hated Lag BaOmer, you know. I grew up in Ariisi Gamza Kanti in Yeshivas Torah Moshe, you know, they don't tell you so many very nice things about Lag BaOmer. The Rosh Yeshiva always says, now it's no coincidence that ever since Corona started, you know, so Lag BaOmer has sort of been defunct. Nobody can make it to Meron anymore. First you had Corona, and then you had the tragedy, and then you have every year it's something else, a war or whatever it is. Somehow Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't want Lag BaOmer to happen. He doesn't want the Beis HaMikdash to happen either, right? I mean, you could look at it both ways. But in any case, it's not going on, right? I always say, listen, one thing is for sure. You cannot have so many Jews who are attracted to something if there's not something going on over there. If so many people are flocking to such a thing, there has to be something there that everybody is attracted to. Are they all attracted to the right thing? No, not necessarily, but there's a glimmer of something. Ayo Taino, okay, you could say the same thing about the Super Bowl. And I always say, yeah, Erech Hanami. I grew up loving sports. You know, what's wrong with the Super Bowl? But the truth of the matter is, it's much deeper than that. What motivates hundreds of thousands or millions of people to watch a bunch of guys on a ball field? You know, and I always know, it's like, I know what it means to daven. You know how I know what it means to daven? I said, because I was the kid who sat there on my couch when my favorite basketball team, you know, was playing in the playoffs, and I'm sitting there davening that this big 7'2" guy hits his foul shot so that we should win. Please, 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 come on, hit the foul shot. And then when he hits it, you know, you're going crazy, right? You're so enthusiastic. What is it? We all miss sugar. Mashgiach used to always give his shmuzin before the Super Bowl. And my favorite part was when he used to translate the names of the teams into, you know, Lashon HaKodesh. So you had the Baltimore Irvin playing against the New Jersey Hanukim, and you know, whatever, and he would make fun of all of it, and now you just have to look at the center's video for like Super Sunday, and you know, it takes care of itself. But what's everybody so attracted to? Obviously, there's something there. The people are not just patently insane, right? I'll tell you what it is. It's very simple. Every single person on the face of the earth, Jew, non-Jew alike, although a Jew has a bigger neshama, so he has it much more stark than anybody else does, has a blazing passion to attach himself to something which is much bigger than he is. Really, to something which is infinite. I sense that my neshama is a chelek l'kami mal, and my neshama pines. I want to be attached to the Rebbeinu Shloimeh. Now, if I don't know how to learn, or I never really had shaychus to, you know, real ruchnius, I never really davened, I never really did a chesed the way that it's supposed to be done, a real, real true chesed. So I'm looking for it, and I need to attach myself to it. So I see this guy, he can slam dunk like an animal or whatever it is. It's like, that's very, very thrilling, you know, and my team and, you know, whatever, and it's big and it's exciting and it's exhilarating, and it sets me into a state of euphoria. I don't want to be cynical about it, but if you think about it till the end, it's a tad like Avodah Zarah. Because I'm worshiping something that really doesn't have any intrinsic value. It's a counterfeit coin for what I really want. I want to be attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and instead I attach myself to this. But that's the attraction. That's what we want. And we go to Meiron. So in Meiron, you are attaching yourself to the real thing. And the people who are in charge over there are very, very big people. And it funnels down. But that's what every person really wants. Every person wants to be attached to something much bigger than him, to infinity, to eternity. And that's what Rebbeinu Shloimeh is. And Lemaisa, that's what the Sfarim say. That is what Yovel is as well. Yovel is Leolam. Yovel is eternal. Yovel is 7 times 7 and the step beyond. It's the 50th. And Lemaisa, that's what the day of Matan Torah was too. There's Achnasa Labris, and the Achnasa Labris was before Matan Torah. Sign on the bottom line, right? You're making a deal over here. You're in, the Rebbeinu Shloimeh's in, it's going to work. But then what happens? What happens is, that's the transcendental experience of Matan Torah, is that Kodesh Baruch Hu comes down on the har. There's Koilus Ubrakim. There's giving luchas. And we touched eternity. People lost their neshamas. But that was the experience of Maimed Har Sinai. That was day 50. That's what happened. And that's what we count up to. Why is it that the Parsha of Shemitah and Yovel was given at Har Sinai after we botched it up, but after we're Nichnas again? Why? Because it's the same thing. You're counting up to Yovel, you're counting the years to Shemitah, and then you're counting the years to Yovel, you're counting towards eternity. And that's what Maimed Har Sinai is. We're counting towards eternity. We're counting towards that connection with the Rebbeinu Shloimeh that we really want. And finally, the last question. Why is it, you know, that Yovel, if it's Yom Kippur, why don't we count up to Yom Kippur? Why wasn't Yovel on Shavuos? And that the answer is self-understood. Just look at a little history. What happened? The Torah that we got today, the Torah that we have today, when was it given? Not on Shavuos, Yom Kippur. That first experience was on Shavuos, but then we botched it. We had the eagle. And then there was the Kapara, and then Moshe Rabbeinu went up again. And finally, the Torah that we got was on Yom Kippur. So we count up to the original Shavuos, because that's when it was, and that was the original Yovel, but then that Yovel got Nidche to Yom Kippur. But HaYetzim Mikol HaNal is that really what happened to us on Shavuos was the ultimate experience that we're supposed to experience every single day when we sit down at Seder, every day when we come into a Shir. Every time we learn a piece of Torah, we have to realize that we have the capability of getting that transcendental experience of tasting eternity. Now, it's very hard, because in order to get that, you have to really, really know how to learn. You can't, hear somebody else's pre-digested lumdus. You can't read somebody else's pre-digested lumdus. You have to use what they said to be able to work through it yourself and come to that hakara yourself. But then when you do, then that's a slam dunk. That's the exclamation point. That's greatness. And that's what you're really here to try to accomplish. There's nothing sweeter than that. I always joke to my kids, here in this country, they think, I get a driver's license, okay, that's eternity. That's going to solve all the world's problems, right? That's it. It doesn't get any better than that. Out. That's it. I get my license. So then, that's as good as it gets. Okay, the Americans don't hear that so much. So what about getting married? Oh, once I get married, okay, now all my problems are, what happens when you get married? My daughter says to me, it says to my wife, really, Ima, whatever, food costs so much money. And the electric bill, the air conditioning, the heat, he's like, shkoyach, Now we know, now you know why we always wanted to, lower the air conditioning a little bit. It's on 17, right? It's okay. I'm not paying for it. But it's not like that, but everybody senses, whatever, these things, okay, fine. Eternity, right? Okay, zing! All my problems will be solved. There's one thing in the world, right? One thing in the world, Torah. You really understand the piece of Torah. You're really in touch with a piece of Torah. Then you touch the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and that's what Shavuos is. I'm going to end off. I told Yitzi I'm going to give his new program a plug. It was my idea, it wasn't his. But I told him there got to be a disclaimer. We have a lot of new programs in yeshivas, one of the Chatzal Hashem, Chatzal Lachem, trying to encourage people, to be on time for Seder, or more on time for Seder. And I think it's a wonderful thing, obviously. You got to be on time for Seder. But don't be on time for Seder 10 minutes late. Be on time for Seder. But what I do have to say is, it's like, listen, if we would appreciate the game that we're in, there's no need for such things. First of all, I'll tell you, I just have to tell you, tongue in cheek, whatever. My son saw this on Sunday night. It's like, okay, fine, we're going to reward guys if they're only on time, if they're only 10 minutes late for Seder. 20 minutes, if it's whatever it is, there's like my son says, yeah, they're starting to think like Israelis. What's a pshat? Because, Israelis, no Israeli really was in a situation where, his father had like a normal job. And his father realizes, if I have to be at the office at 9 o'clock, and I'm not the boss, if I come a half an hour late every day, it's not going to be, okay, fine, if you only come 15 minutes late, so now we'll give you a bonus. You come a half an hour late every day, you're fired. That's the way a good American thinks. My son says, okay, fine, beginning to think like Israelis. There's no such a thing as having a job. I do what I want. Or maybe you do know what it means to have a job. But we don't take Torah too seriously. It's a fun activity when I feel like it. But it's exactly the opposite. There is nothing more precious and there's nothing more valuable and there's nothing more elevating than sitting down and learning. Not only because of the most chashuv thing in the world, you know, that's part of the religion, but when you sit and you learn, you touch the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the ultimate exclamation point. That's eternity, that's infinity, that's what we want. So again, I'm plugging the program. If everybody's going to be half an hour late and this is going to get them there on time or at least only 10 minutes late, so fantastic. And everybody should join. I just want to point that out. I said, come on. Even if it was just a job, you wouldn't be 10 minutes late. You certainly wouldn't be half an hour late. And if you were, in the words of the great Donald Trump, you're fired. It's much more than a job. This is the purpose of our life. And that's what Shavuos comes to tell us. You nichnas lebris, that's the first step. But the ultimate of Matan Torah is realizing that you touch the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what we really, really want. More than the Super Bowl, and more than even Lag BaOmer, is knowing how to learn a piece of Gemara from beginning to end, getting it with all of its depth and all of its beauty. And Bez Hashem, we should all be zeicha on a regular basis. Have a good Shabbos.